There have been just over 2,000 people that have been able to make that journey and stand on that place. That's not very many compared to how many people there are in the world. That would be an interesting experience. It is said that if you, and there's no way it could be done at this point in time. Helicopter can't go that fine. You can't bail out an airplane at 30,000 feet. So, but if it were possible, the air is so thin, and if you didn't have time to acclimate, which is all about the months that it takes to climb, you would instantly die or just within a few minutes. Amen. It's an unusual place that few people will ever stand. But I'm saying tonight that I'm glad to be standing in a place like no other place. I stand in the congregation and I exalt His name.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. You talk about rarefied air. Amen. You talk about a holy place. You talk about a special place. Amen. There's no place like this place. Hallelujah. And there's nothing in this world like standing in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And one of these days, we're going to stand before the throne. And we're going to see the one that sat upon the throne. And we're going to take our crowns and cast them at His feet. Hallelujah. And say, Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power and praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Oh God, help us never to take for granted the special presence of the Lord that we feel in this house. Amen. Help us never just to come here business as usual, but help us always to understand we're standing on holy ground. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord God. It is very possible to be in the presence of God and not know it.
Yes,
sir. Jacob had that experience, didn't he? Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. He said, but I knew it not. Amen. I don't want to be in that condition. Amen. But I want to know that we're in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord where the presence of God can be felt here tonight? Amen. How good to be in the house of the Lord. We're happy to have some guests with us tonight. We're glad you're here. Thank you for coming and being with us. It's real good to have Brother Orville Shindall with us tonight. Amen. Good to see you, brother. Amen. Why don't you give us a testimony tonight? Good to have you in the house of the Lord. Amen. All right. Amen. Okay. The Lord bless you. Thank you for coming. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes it's good just to be able to sit down and not have to talk. All right. Most of us preachers, we like talking, to be honest with you. Amen. Like a little boy, somebody asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up. He said, I want to be a preacher. They said, why? He said, I have to go to church anyway. I might as well be the one hollering instead of the one listening. Amen. Pretty good reasoning, huh? Amen. For no other reason. That's a good reason. Praise God. Let me just remind you of a few things here. Friday morning is the bake sale for the ladies' ministries. Be at the First State Bank at 7:30 a.m. Need to have all of the breakfast items and baked goods there. And we need a good representation. So let's do our best. I know there's some great bakers and cooks in this congregation. So if you would make a very special effort to help us with this. Haven't had one of these kind of fundraiser in a good while, so please help us out. And if you can't do that, we always take money. Don't even have to bake it. We'll take it plain, unbaked. Amen. So thank you very, very much. Remember, after the service, Sunday night, baby shower for the McGee family and their precious little one. Also, the Laborde family needs, they're looking for a place to rent. So if you know of a house, a place for rent, if you would let them know after the service, they would appreciate it. All right. If you'd stand with me tonight, I'd like to go to the Word of the Lord. I was a little late to service. I've been trying real hard to make my computer behave. And I had an inspiration because there's some technical words I want to use tonight to try to explain some things. So I wanted to put this on a PowerPoint so that you'd be able to see it, so that it might make it a little easier to understand some of what I want to talk about. And so hopefully we can make that work. I'm not sure. Okay? He says we can. He's a magician back there, I tell you. He does miracles. Amen. If he can make that. I couldn't even get it off the computer. I had to come get Sister Melinda to make it cooperate. Amen. I don't know if it's like, you know, a horse, you got to show it who's boss or what. But sometimes I'm not the boss. Amen. But anyway, we got it done. So thank you very, very much. I want to talk tonight about this subject, fighting truth decay. Fighting truth decay. Amen. Jude told us that in the last days that there were going to come unseemly people that were going to do their very best. And we know it's true. It's happened. And so he told us that we should contend earnestly for the faith. When I think of that, I always think of Brother Nathaniel Urshan, who used to come home, and a lot of days he'd get in fights because back then they picked on Pentecostal kids. If you were Pentecostal, they picked on you. And of course, Brother Urshan is a pretty good sized fella and pretty athletic, and he'd just mix it with them. And he'd come home with his clothes dirty or torn and some bruises, and his dad would say, "What happened, son?" He said, "I've been contending for the faith." So sometimes we have to contend for the faith. Amen. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. This is very, very important to you and I. It's very precious. And we thank God for the truth, don't we? And you have to fight truth decay. You have to fight it against it because it will do its very best to set in. Amen. We are seeing people in our time that have held the truth for years and let things begin to creep in. It's important that we fight truth decay. Amen. All right. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. I would like to start tonight by making a revelation that I'm sure you know. There is a God. How many believe there is a God? Hallelujah. Amen. There is a God. How many is there? Bible teaches there's just one God. Now that makes sense to me. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to believe in God, I'm going to go ahead and believe in a big one. The more I hear and the more I read about the universe, the more mind-boggling it is. It is enormous. I read several years ago about these fields of gas that were like 2 billion miles long. And supposedly, that's a birthplace of stars. I don't know, but I know that's a big place. Hallelujah. But I know who made those gas fields. And I know who makes the stars. However he chooses to do it is his business. So I'm going to go ahead and believe. Somebody said, there's no way that there could be a God that big. Why not? If you're going to believe in one, you might as well believe in a big one. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so I do. So the Bible teaches us very plainly, John chapter 4 and verse 24, it says that God is a spirit. God is spirit. That's His essence. That's what makes Him up. That's why He can be omnipresent, because He's spirit. And there is no place that He is not. And everywhere that He is all that He is. And there is no weak places in Him. I don't know about you, I get a little frustrated. I'm thankful for cell phones, honestly. Since my daughter's not close to us, I'm glad that they're cell phones. Even though she don't answer hers most of the time, and I could wring her neck for that. But nonetheless, I'm glad that she has one, and she can call. And believe me, she gets in trouble, she will call. If it gets bad enough, she will call. She may not answer my call, but she expects me to answer hers. Amen. But what I wanted to say about cell phones, you have been driving along and you're just talking away and all of a sudden, boom, drop the call. Amen. I'm glad that in God there are no weak places. There are no places that He is not. You never lose the signal. It's always full bar. Amen. It's always as powerful as it can be. He's just as powerful at the edge as He is at the center. Everywhere that He is, He's all that He is. Amen. There's no shadow, no weakness in the Lord. He is all that He is everywhere that He is. So God is, first of all, and God is spirit. So the Bible, and I like the way the scripture reads. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." You know, I think it's God designed the scripture to start that way. Because if you don't believe that, you might as well not read any further. It's not going to do you much good to read past that if you can't even believe that much. Because after that, it gets real intriguing. Amen. Praise God. God doesn't argue with people about whether He exists or not. He knows He exists. Amen. He knows that He's real. He doesn't need your affirmation to do anything for Him. He already knows that. So in His Word, He doesn't waste any time arguing with skeptics and trying to answer their questions. He just makes the declaration. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, He doesn't give us a whole lot of details. He gives us everything we need to know. But He doesn't tell us everything, all of the details. I'm not sure we really have what it takes to understand all of what He has done. Amen. But He just simply makes a declaration. He doesn't argue about it. He just tells us that He did it. Amen. Praise God. And then that was very simple. Everybody originally believed in God. I still believe that everybody does. I don't believe in atheists. I don't believe in agnostics. They make their statement, but I don't believe that they exist. Amen. Because I hear them call on God sometimes. There is something innate in every human heart that we know that there's a God. And it's in all of us. And you can't wash it out. You can't educate it out. It's still there. You can't drown it out. You can't even sin it out. It's in there. It's that, in some cases, it's that impending doom that someday, somewhere, this is all headed someplace, folks. We all know that. Everybody knows that. Amen. History is going somewhere. It has a destination. That destination is the throne of God. But Romans chapter 1, if you want to turn there, the 18th verse, it said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." You know, it's important to have the truth and to know the truth and to hold the truth, but it's just as important to hold it in righteousness. Amen. Somebody made an observation one time I hadn't really thought about. He said that some of the most ungodly people on the earth are oneness people. And I thought, what in the world do you mean by that? He said, well, look at Hollywood. Most of the people that make all of the filth that comes out of there are apostate Jews. They're oneness people. They were grew up all their life knowing that their hero Israel, the Lord our God, is one Lord. So they know and have righteousness. They know truth, but hold it in unrighteousness. Amen. So that's a dangerous position to be in. Verse 19 said, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." Again, that's why I don't believe there's such a thing as an atheist or an agnostic, because God manifests himself. God reveals himself. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now, you can do your best to explain it away, but it's there, and it stands as a silent witness of the eternal power and Godhead. Amen. And then verse 21 is very accusatory. It says, "Because that when they knew God," everybody say, they knew him. They knew him. "When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Amen. I have heard people say, "I don't know how you can know there's a God." Well, you in the beginning, it's just simple faith. Amen. Just simple faith. You know, children don't have a problem with this. They don't struggle with it. It just makes sense to them. Amen. It hasn't been driven and educated out of them and forced out of them by some influential individual or something like that. They just know. I was reading sad testimony of some very educated men. And I love education. Think everybody needs some. God gets no glory out of ignorance. There's nothing wrong with being educated. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have knowledge. There's nothing wrong with wanting to know truth. There's nothing wrong with any of that. Again, it's a good thing to have a desire to know things. But these men, there were three of them from different religious backgrounds, and every one of them was given a testimony of how they lost their faith in God. Do you know how they lost their faith in God? Because they put more of their confidence in the word of scholars than they did in the word of God. They were reading critical text of what people said about the word of God and why it could not mean what it meant, and they believed what the critics said more than they did what God said. And that's how you lose your faith, folks. Amen. If you get to believe in what people say more than you believe what God says, then you'll get in trouble. Amen. But if you'll just simply take it by faith, I'm going to be as honest as I know how to be tonight. There's still a few things in this book I don't quite understand as well as I'd like to. There's still a few questions about life that I don't really understand yet. There are some things when people ask me, Brother Grissom, why? I have to say, I'm fresh out of omniscience. There's some things we just don't know, folks. I think the old songwriter answered it pretty good. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Isn't that what he said? Amen. Our forefathers had it right, folks. Just don't blow a fuse if you don't know everything. Amen. Somehow we got in this mold that we have to know everything. No, you don't. Amen. You don't have to know everything, and every one of you here uses electricity. Do you understand it? Can you give me all of the technical information about it? Some of you know something about it. All I know is you plug something in, as if everything's on, it works. I've heard people say, I don't believe in anything I can't see. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You believe, you don't see electricity unless something's wrong. Then you see it. And if you don't believe in it, I could get you to be a believer real quick. You don't see it, but I can promise you can feel it. Amen. And you can't see God, but I'll tell you what, you can feel God. And you can know God. Amen. You can have a personal relationship with God. Amen. Praise God. And so the scripture says that, in so tragically, that these people, because they didn't want to attain a knowledge of God, because they understood that God's boss, and someday everybody is going to give an account to Him. And that if you're going to live a good life, it has to be pleasing to the Lord. And so they just said, well, we don't want to live according to His rules or anybody else's. You've heard that, haven't you? I'm my own destiny, my own boss. Nobody tells me what to do. Good. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, I'm not going to go there. But anyway, let me go ahead. Amen. Praise God. And then the scripture says that by faith we understand. That probably ought to be the next slide here. Yeah. It says by faith we understand. But I said by faith. You see, your understanding doesn't feed your faith, but your faith feeds your understanding. As a matter of fact, what does it say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without faith, it is impossible to know God. Amen. But by faith, we understand. It's very clear. I've always loved this verse, the third verse of the 11th chapter. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's an awfully important verse to us tonight. It's through faith that we understand. Somebody said, well, you have to explain this to me. Well, it's by faith we understand. Now, I just want to make something clear tonight, that evolution is just as much of a faith-based theory as is creation. You have to have faith to believe that. Oh, yes, you do. I've heard them talk about the missing link my whole life, and we hadn't found any missing links. They're all missing. Not one. Not one. Not one. Amen. Not one missing link has been found, because there are none. Amen. And but the understanding, and the more we understand about DNA, the more clear it becomes. You know that monkeys are always going to produce monkeys. Humans are always going to produce humans until we start monkeying around with it, and then who knows what we're going to make. It's going to be a mess, I'll tell you that much. Amen. But you know, just about the time people start really getting into things they don't have any business in, that's when God says enough. Oh, yeah, he does. Yes, he does. When you there's a cup. The Bible talks about a cup of iniquity. When it gets full, judgment comes. Amen. And I think we're just about there, Brother Davis. I think we're getting real close. The people going to start monkeying around with the stuff. God said, no, we're not going there. I've already made everything needs to be made. And I don't want you messing up anything more than you've already messed up. And about that time, judgment will come. So we understand how creation, simply by faith. I don't know about you, but I'm real satisfied with that. I don't have any problem with it. Amen. It's very, very clear to me because I have faith. And then he goes on to, and so gives us some reasons to believe. And I have, I guess about 8 reasons here that I'd like to share with you. Reasons that we can believe in God. First of all, one reason to believe in God is because of universal belief in God. You can go to the most primitive culture on the face of the earth, and people will have some belief in some deity. Now, they may not know him as you know him, but they're going to believe in a higher power, if you want to call it there, or a supreme being or a creator. And every one of those cultures will have some theory of creation. Most of them will also have a story of a flood and a man in a big boat. Now, where does that connection come from people that have never been taught from the Bible? They are things that have been passed down from oral tradition from the time of Adam until the present time. And it's just in the heart of every person. It's just there. They worship God. There's just something that's universal in human beings. Now, in some cases, we have tried to educate that out of people. And that's interesting. Right now, we're seeing a backlash of that. A lot of parents that were raised in the hippie, the hippies became the yuppies. What's the difference in the hippie and the yuppie? The hippie's the one that said, we don't need this materialism. And then they grew up and they're more materialistic than any generation has ever been before them. It's like the one that was riding along and he was in a terrible accident. And his car was torn all to pieces. And the man came up to him and he said, sir, he was sitting there. He said, are you all right? He was sitting there and was just saying, oh, my BMW. Oh, my BMW. Oh, my BMW. That's all he could say. And then the guy said, forget your car, bud. Your arm is torn all to pieces. He looked down and he said, oh, my Rolex. Oh, my Rolex. Oh, my Rolex. Now that's a pretty extreme materialism, isn't it? Praise God. But that's the kind of a situation. But the children of those people are looking for something to fill the void. You know what they're looking to? God. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what. I'm looking for a great revival among young people. Yes, sir. I said I'm looking for a great revival among young people. Because they're ready for something to believe, something to believe in, something worth giving your life to. Amen. I heard the testimony of a young man that had come to the Lord and they were asking him and he said, I'm so glad that I came to Jesus. He said, because before that, he said, I was just like an empty sardine can. I had no meaning in life. That I didn't know I had a purpose here. I didn't know there was really anything to living. I thought that human beings were just throwaway things like empty cans. And boy, the way people are treating people, you'd think that a lot of folks got that idea. Amen. But let me tell you something. Faith in God puts a value on human life once again. Amen. And so, universal belief in God. And then, there's the cosmological explanation or philosophy. That is the fact that for every cause, there's an effect. For every cause, there's an effect. Something happens There's a reaction to what happens. And there are some that call God the first cause. And because he caused everything, because he wanted to. And that's why it happened. Just because he wanted it to. And so, but there's for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And that's just, it's a law of science. And so that was a cause and there's an effect. God was the cause, man is the effect. And so from cosmological argument, some of the great philosophers of the past believe that there's a God. Simply because they see the effects here and there's got to be a cause. And they can't see the cause. But they know, so they call that cause God. Amen. There's a reason that there's order here. And so cosmologically, that's how we can explain some things. Amen. One thing that we know is that order never proceeds out of disorder. But things degrade from order into chaos. The second law of thermodynamics is that things unattended will decay. Your body's a pretty good indication of that. Looked in the mirror lately? You're subject to the second law of thermodynamics. You're decaying. Amen. Anybody want to say amen to that? That there's a little difference now than there was a few years ago. Amen. Anybody, you live in a house that's not the same as it was a few years ago. It tends to disorder. You drive an automobile. It's not getting better every day. It's decaying every day. It's losing value because of decay. It's just a simple law of nature. Things are winding down. We know that. Amen. And so who wound them up? Amen. God wound it up, and now it's winding down. Scientists tell us, and I don't know. They tell us all kinds of things. I don't believe some of it. But some of it I do believe. They tell us that the sun is burning out. But you don't have to worry. It'll be a while before it's all gone. But you know why I don't worry about that? Because I'm going to a city where the Lamb is the light. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not going to need a sun or a moon or stars because the Lamb is the light of the city. Praise God. And God is light. So we don't have to worry about that. If that's your worrier and that's high on your list, you can scratch it off. Amen. Because you're not going to have to worry about that. Then there's the teleological argument for God, and that is that there's design in the universe. There's design. Now, I have a watch here tonight, and it was designed by somebody, I believe. If I told you that I knocked some stuff off of the shelf the other day and my washing machine turned it on and it made an awful racket, and before I could get it stopped, and I looked in there and all that stuff that fell in there had created a watch, you wouldn't believe me, would you? You'd think, well, he's ready for the funny farm. Amen. Now I've heard of some tall tales, but that's no, you wouldn't believe that. But how much more can a orderly universe such as we live in, that is so intricate, the balance is so tender and so detailed and so intricate that if things get out of balance, we're in big trouble. It's got to be exactly like it is to support life. And, you know, there's the big ballyhoo about the global warming thing, and we're all doomed. And if they're right, we are. Amen. Praise God. But you know what? I got a better place than this to go. So I'm not going to worry about that either. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But there's a design, and if there is a design, that indicates there's a designer. Everything that you know that was designed, somebody designed it. If it exists, somebody made it. We know that. That's so simple for all of us. We all believe that. The first question we ask is, who made that? And we know that somebody did. It just makes sense that if it exists, then somebody made it. And so that's a teleological argument and holds water for me. I don't have any problem with that. Do you? Amen. But there are some that try to tell me all of this order came out of an explosion. Now, I have a problem with that. I've been around some things that blew up, and I never did see any order come out of it. Amen. And then there's the ontological philosophy that says that man has the idea that there's an infinite and perfect being. There is perfection. We strive for that. We see some things that are perfect. We believe that God is perfect, is infinite, and that is necessary. Amen. This has to be. And so if there's something that is perfect, it demands existence. And therefore God must exist. That's a simple argument. And but we have this desire for perfection. We seek perfection. And we believe that there's something perfect. Now, we may have the saying, nobody is perfect, but that doesn't mean that God is not perfect. We believe that He is. And so there's the idea of perfection. There's the idea of excellence. We all strive and drive toward that. Where did that come from? Where did that desire come from? Who put that in us? How did man derive that desire and that seeking a standard of perfection? Amen. Well, the logical explanation is that there's a perfect God. The anthropological argument is that man is a moral being with conscience, emotions, and intelligence. And we believe that's true. All of us have a moral nature. That in every person, there's a sense of right and wrong. Amen. In all of us, there's a sense of right and wrong. Most people don't have to tell you when you do something wrong. You know it. Even little children, when they do something wrong, there's something that tells them. There's a sense in them that lets them know I did something wrong. And there's also something in them that tries to cover it up. My cousin went out and cut all of his mother's flowers down. And my aunt said to him, did you cut those flowers down? He said, no, ma'am. She said, what did you do it with? He said, the scissors. Now, there's a smart mama right there. She knew how to get to the truth. Amen. But there's something in us that automatically knows and looks for right and wrong. And if we don't want to do right and wrong, we want other people to. Hello? We sure expect other people to do right and wrong. And if they do something wrong, we want them to pay for it. Amen. Like the guy that backed into the man's Mercedes and drove off saying, brother, isn't grace wonderful? Not at that point in time. We want a little justice on the scene here. Amen. Pay, buddy. Amen. So man is a moral being. We have a conscience, emotion, and intelligence. And I don't believe we got that from a rock. I don't think so. Matter of fact, I've heard people say he was dumb as rocks. Amen. So we didn't get that. We got that from some intelligence. We got that from a moral being. We got that we have emotions. Now, we didn't get our emotions from a rock. I've never seen a rock become angry. No matter what you say to it, no matter what you do to it. It has no emotion. Amen. We got emotion from somewhere. Some of us got a little too much of it. Amen. And this is an argument. And again, to me, pretty well it points to God. Then there was the argument of congruity. The congruity means that everything fits. Now, if you have a key and you put it into a lock and it fits, that's the right key. And it, isn't it? Yeah. It's the right key. Amen. And so that's just fits. It's the right one. And God, the existence of God answers all of the important questions, doesn't it? There's not any important question that the existence of God does not answer. It answers the question of creation. It answers the question of nature. It answers the questions of religion. It answers the question of morality. It answers the question of eternity. It answers the question of human history. God and His existence answers all the questions. So if the key fits, it must be the right key. Amen. It must be the right key. It looks to me like the opposition, all they have is questions and accusations. I don't see many answers coming from that quarter. Amen. But I have a lot of questions coming from that corner. So I believe there's a God because He explains everything for me. It just fits. Amen. And then there are the Scriptures. Amen. Thank God for the Scriptures. Amen. The Bible gives us the answers, plain and clear. It explains creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And He gives us a fairly detailed description of the order of it and the importance of the order. You see, God couldn't create some things until He had created something else to sustain the life that He created. And so each thing came in a special order to support that which was going to come after that. And so the creation is, for me, it's adequately explained in the Scripture. And then there is Jewish history. Now, one of the most fascinating studies that you'll ever do is on the Jewish people. Now, they have been persecuted like no other people on the face of the earth. And you look at it today. You go home and you look at a world map, and you will barely be able to see a little sliver of land on that map called Israel. It's a very, very, very small piece of real estate. And yet the focus of the entire world is turned there almost on a daily basis. There's not a day that goes by that it's not in the news one way or another. What is so important about that little old group of people over there on that little old piece of real estate? What's the reason there's bigger places that don't get near the notice they do? There's certainly more populous nations that are hardly ever mentioned. What's the big deal about Israel? There must be some reason, folks, that all of the attention is focused there. There must be some reason that there's so much animosity against those people. There's got to be a reason for that. And then, of course, there is the fact that Israel existed as a separate race of people for 1,800 years and didn't even have a country to call their own. They were never assimilated into another culture and into another country, but they maintained their separate identity and didn't even have a homeland. 1,800 years. That's a long time. Nobody else has ever done that. Do you know how they made it? Because they understood something. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. And thou shalt love Him with all of your strength and all of your heart and all of your soul. Amen. You gotta. That was Israel's strength and that was their separation. They didn't assimilate into other societies. And then, of all things, they had all kinds of ideas. The Zionists, all these years scheming and trying to figure something out. At one point they said, well, we'll go to Africa where there's some empty land and we'll just build us a homeland. But somebody said, oh, no, 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 we're not going to do that, because God said that He was going to give us back our homeland. God said that He had given that land to Abraham, and He gave it for David's kingdom, and God's going to give us that place back again. And as improbable as it may sound, in 1948, in the month of May, Israel became a nation once again after 1,800 years without being a nation. And the same day that they were declared a nation, their enemy said, we're going to drive you into the Red Sea. And they didn't do it. Every time they pushed Israel, Israel pushed back and increased its territories. How in the world can that happen? There is no other logical explanation than that God is keeping His promise to His people. That's the only way I can explain it. I don't know any other way to explain that. The prophecies that were prophesied in Scripture, and many of them have already been fulfilled exactly as the Bible said they would be fulfilled. And there are some that are yet to come, and they are coming quickly and with an accuracy that is inexplicable any other way. And the fact that there's a God behind it all. Amen. There's no other way to explain this. It's not happenstance. Amen. It's all coming together exactly the way He said it would. It is absolutely amazing. The accuracy of the Word of God. It's absolute. It never misses. Never misses. You know, you'll get some of these super duper... fortune tellers and what do they call them? The ones that do the horoscopes and all the rest of it. You know, if they're right once every 50 times, it's a big ballyhoo. I got it right. I got it right. I got it right. And everybody in the news says they got it right. They foretold the future. But what about the other 50 times you missed it? Oh, that doesn't matter. We got one right. But the Bible has been right every single time. It has never, ever missed. You talk about accuracy, and I can believe that. As a matter of fact, the Bible made it kind of plain in the Old Testament. They said if a man says he's a prophet and what he says doesn't come to pass, stone him. Now that would make you be careful and kind of watch your words. Amen. If he said God said and God didn't say, get rid of him. Woo! Amen. But there's a lot of people today saying God said and God didn't say. And I've heard some of them say, well, you know, it's like, you know, any other gift. You just use it. Sometimes you miss it and sometimes you get it. Not if God said. Not if God said. I'm sorry. Don't want to be real hard-nosed here, but if God said it, He said it, and it's true. And if it didn't come to pass, God didn't say it. It's okay to say, I think, or this is my opinion. But if you didn't really hear from God, leave God out of it. Amen. Praise God. All right. Enough said. I believe the Scriptures point the way to God. How about you? That's a reason to believe for me. Amen. Now let me tell you my favorite one here. Amen. And that is personal experience. Why do I believe in God? Because I have a personal experience with God. Because I have prayed prayers that God answered. Hallelujah. Amen. Now He hasn't answered every prayer, at least not the way I wanted it answered. I believe God answers every prayer. But when He says, no, I don't like that, and I don't count that as an answer. Amen. Praise God. When He says, wait or maybe, I don't like that either. I want Him to say, yes, 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 yes. But God is not a smother mother or a sugar daddy. He's not some kind of a celestial slot machine that you insert a prayer with a thing called faith and pull the handle and down comes the blessing every single time. Not so. God is a God of infinite wisdom, and God knows the end from the beginning, and He always wants to do what's right, and He wants to do what's best for you and for me. And so sometimes He says no. I don't know about you, but I have lived long enough to know that I prayed some prayers. Now I thank God that He didn't answer. Anybody get a witness here tonight? Anybody ever prayed a prayer and God didn't answer it, and you look back and you say, "Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so good to me." That would have been a horrible thing if you'd answered that prayer the way I prayed it. Amen. Praise God. He's a good God, isn't He? Personal experience, answered prayer, tells me that God is real. Salvation tells me God is real. Hey, I want to tell you something. When you get saved, it changes you. You're not the same person that you used to be. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You've heard it said. Perhaps you said it. Somebody would say, "If I walked into that church, well, the ceiling would fall down." And now you've come here service after service after service faithfully. Amen. Brother Wagner ran down here when he was a little boy. Went to the church, was back in the old annex building. Walked in, said a few minutes, said, "Those people are crazy," and went back home. But he's been here for a long time now. Amen. Faithfully. What happened? Amen. He's a new creature. Now he just gets right in here with us and gets crazy like everybody else. Amen. Praise God. What? It literally changes you. The best way I can explain that is that there's a literal change of nature that takes place. My cousin had a pet pig called Fido. At least that's what I named him. I don't know what he called him. But he kept Fido, and he kept him real clean, squeaky clean. And he dabbed a little perfume on him and tied ribbons around him. But you know what happened when Fido got outside? Fido would run for the stinkiest, dirtiest, filthiest mud puddle he could find. And he would dive in snout first. And he would sling slop. And he would sing sludge every direction and mud, because he was in hog heaven. You know why he did that? Because that's his nature. And he couldn't help it. When he was inside, somebody else forced him against what he was. But when he got outside, he'd return to his nature. Amen. Do you know why sinners sin? Because they're sinners. Amen. That's why people sin, because they're sinners. How can you change a sinner? You give him the righteousness of Christ as a new nature. And that's the only way that anybody can change. You can't reform sin out of people. You can't legislate sin out of people. The only way you can get sin out of a human heart and a human nature is to give them a new nature. And I'm telling you, that's what happened when I got the Holy Ghost. God gave me a new nature. Paul said, "The things I used to love, now I hate. And the things I used to hate, now I love." Amen. The only explanation for that is salvation. Praise God. There's not another explanation for that. Amen. Divine healing. Anybody here ever been healed? You ever been healed in a way that medical science could not explain? Amen. Praise God. Yeah. We've experienced that, haven't we? Thank God for it. Amen. Thank God for it. I'm so grateful for that. I'm thankful for what medical science can do, but hey, I'm glad today that I'm not dependent on that. When I went to the hospital to have my plumbing work done last year, I was not at all, and I say this, and there's no glory in this for Johnny Grissom, but I can tell you as honestly as I can possibly say it, there was no fear in my heart. Because not because I had a great doctor, perhaps I did, I don't know. But I know that I had a great physician watching over it all. Hallelujah. And I had absolute confidence that it was going to be all right one way or the other. That's a peace that you can't buy, folks. You can't put a price on something like that. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for healing for physical bodies. Amen. I had bone break fever some years ago. And it's kind of rare to get that in the United States, but I got it, bud, and it was bad stuff. It's called that because it feels like your bones are breaking. And you hurt all over. And you literally ask the Lord to let you go home or heal you one or the other because you just can't stand being here much longer. It was bad stuff. Had shingles on top of that. I was hurting. I was in pain, folks. And I couldn't even preach that morning. Couldn't even get out of bed to go to church and couldn't lay in bed. I was miserable laying down, standing up, or any other position. There was no comfortable position to get in. I was in a bad way. Those precious men from the church after service came over and circled around my bed and they joined hands and they started praying. Hallelujah! And God answered prayer and He healed my body and He took away the pain instantly. Now you can say what you want to say about that, but I know what happened. And I know it was the hand of God. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to fight tooth decay with my testimony. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody says, I don't believe that. Well, honey, you don't have to, but I am because I know what happened to me. Amen. I don't believe in talking in tongues. I do because it happened to me. I don't believe in this Holy Ghost business. I do because it happened to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Personal experience goes a long way. Yes, it does. Amen. And divine fellowship. My. Hallelujah. That's proof enough right there, folks. Have you ever been riding along in your car and you got to singing and praising? Oh, and the presence of the Lord came down so beautifully. But it was almost dangerous. Amen. What's happened? Oh, it happens. Had a friend of mine. We prayed for that man for I don't know, 12 years to get the Holy Ghost. He would come. He would wear us out, praying, seeking God. He'd go home. He wanted the Holy Ghost so bad, but he didn't get it. You know what happened? One day he was driving his truck. And he said, I'm going to fast today. And he was out at a rock pile loading rocks in his truck. Everybody else had gone for lunch. He got so hungry for the Lord out there in that old rock pile. He lifted his hands and he did what we've been telling him to do all along. He hated that word yield, brother. But that's what he did. And in a few moments' time, he was speaking in other tongues as the Holy Ghost gave the utterance. Amen. Hey, I'm telling this stuff works. I have a personal experience tonight that lets me know that God is real. I'm going to fight truth decay with that. Amen. Maybe a little Colgate will help me with the other. I don't know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Now listen, I don't know what atheism has done for people, but I know what God has done for me. I don't know how much peace folks have gotten from their agnostic beliefs, but I know what Jesus Christ has done for me. I don't know how much peace when it's time to go to bed at night they draw from their relationship with atheism and agnosticism, but I know how much peace I draw from Jesus Christ when I breathe His name and talk to Him before I go to bed at night. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, this is real. Amen. Praise God. But you don't have to take my word for it. Try it yourself. Where did I see that the other day? It said, try Jesus Christ. If you don't like it, the devil will always take you back. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, He'll take you back. Amen. And so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Praise the Lord. Let me hurry. I know I'm excited, folks, and this is good. Praise God. Brother Grissom, he's got something good going here. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse number 22. I want to show you a world without God. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now here's, to me, this is always so amazing that people would go out and get a piece of wood or a piece of stone or a piece of metal, and they would make an image. Now, they always made it like something they could see, because people are not creators. We can't make anything that we have. We can reproduce what we see, but we can't make anything that we have not seen. And we have no materials beyond what God has created for us to work with. But God is the creator. He took things that are not and made things that are. Amen. Now, somebody did a masterful job making this pulpit out of wood, but he didn't make the tree. Only God can make the tree. Amen. Praise God. And so people, they made, and this is amazing to me, that they would make these images and say, "This is my God." And they made it. It's like the fellow that prayed through, got the Holy Ghost. He ran home. He was so excited. He got all his little idols out of his house. He went outside, dug a hole, threw them in it, poured gasoline on them, and was getting ready to set them on fire. His neighbor across the fence saw it, and he was of the same religious persuasion the other men had been. And he comes running over there, and he says, wait, what are you doing? He said, if they can't save themselves, they sure can't save me. Amen. You know what? A fool became a wise man because he believed in God. Amen. Praise God. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men working with men, that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves their recompense of their error, which was meet. Does that ring a bell? Anybody see any of that going on? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Do you know what a reprobate mind is? It's a mind that cannot discern right and wrong. It cannot discern right from wrong. Let me say, when you take God out of the equation, what do you use for right and wrong? What is your basis for judgment? What is your basis for righteousness? What is your standard when you take God out of the equation? God turned them over to a reprobate mind. Amen. They could not discern right and wrong. And we're living, folks, in a day when there are actually judges sitting on a bench that can't discern right and wrong. They're wearing the robes of justice and cannot discern right and wrong. They're sitting on the Supreme Court bench and cannot discern right and wrong. They're in political offices. Now, I'm not saying all politicians are not good. There are some good ones. But many of them cannot discern right and wrong, because they do not want to retain God in their knowledge. Boy, could we go on here, but we can't. We don't have the time. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. My, 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 my. That's what a world without God looks like. Amen. When you walk outside the doors of this building and you get up in the morning and you walk out into the world, you're going to see that all around you. Amen. When you listen to the news or read your newspaper, you're going to see it displayed before your eyes. And I hope when you see that, it comes back to your mind. This is world without God. I don't want to be here when after the rapture takes place. I want to go and be with Him when that happens. Because it's going to be a bad place, folks. Amen. When the one that is restraining takes the restraint, which is the Spirit of God, out of this place. My, my, my. You talk about a bad place to be. Amen. Thank God. Amen. I want to guard the truth. How about you? I want to contend for truth. In closing, 1 John 1:6-9, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to walk in light. You ever walked in the dark? I'm not afraid of the dark, just what I think's in it. And the stuff I've run into. I piled off the platform one time right into the altar. Boy, you talk about hurting because I didn't turn the light on. That was stupid, wasn't it? You've never done anything like that, but I have. Amen. It's dangerous to walk in the dark. It's dangerous to walk in the dark. And we were in Costa Rica. We were... getting ready to go. I was going with Pastor. Rachel was going with Pastor's wife. They were getting into a taxi cab, and all of a sudden, Cherie just disappeared. We thought, where in the world? And it was dark. And she had stepped off of the curb. And in Colombia and in Costa Rica and those places, the sewer drain or the drain out here, a lot of them, they have a metal grill over them, and they steal those grills and use them to cook food on for grills. And so there rarely you'll ever find one covered. Even manhole covers, like in the middle of the road, you don't ever want to run over because it'll be a hole, not a man cover. Because they steal them, they take them home, and they put them on the fire, and they use it for a grill to cook their food on. And so Cherie had fallen into that. I mean, it was dark. She couldn't see. She just stepped and boom, she was gone. And we got her out of there, and we were just so concerned and carrying on. And she said, "Oh, don't worry, Mama." She said, "My friends told me that I'd fall into a gringo catcher." That's what they call them because all the Costa Ricans knew better. Amen. But we're used to all these safety devices we have in the United States. They know better than to take a step in the dark like that. Amen. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, I love this. We have fellowship one with another. Hear me, God will not follow you into the darkness. Let me say it again. God will not follow you into the darkness. You will have to follow Him in the light. Amen. But if you will walk in the light as He is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. And I love this word. And the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing. The word is in a constant action. It's always going on. It's constantly cleansing us from all of our sin. Amen. It's worth it, folks, to walk with Him. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I like being clean. Inside and out. I like it. Amen. I enjoy it. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He's just and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Praise God. How do you fight truth decay? You walk in the light. You walk with the truth, the life, and the way. Amen. When you follow Him, praise God, you're fighting truth decay. Praise God. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for your time tonight. I appreciate it. Amen. I know we're a little lengthy here. I can't help it. I get a little excited about this. Amen. I've got a part two to this. Amen. And I'm getting ready to go right into it. No. Another service, another time. Amen. Praise God. But it's good. Amen. To walk in the light. Are you glad you're walking in light tonight? Yeah. Walking in righteousness. Amen. Where there's peace. Amen. Where there's light. Amen. Where you know where you're going. This is a wonderful way to go. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know. It's been a long time since I walked on any other road. But I know one thing. I'm not ready to trade. I like this one. Now, I have walked in another direction. I've walked in that path enough to know that's not the way I want to go. I don't like the destination, and I don't like the way. Amen. But I enjoy this way, and I know that I'm going to enjoy greatly my destination. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Folks, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. Your faith is going to be tried. Amen. But don't let truth decay. Guard it. What was it the Proverbs said? Buy the truth and sell it not. Sell it not. Hold on to it tenaciously. Amen. Guard it against everything. Guard against it. In every way. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. I think it'd be good if we'd lift up our hands right now and we would just reaffirm right where you are one more time your love for God and your love for His truth. Would you do that? Would you tell Him how much you appreciate Him tonight? And how much you appreciate this truth. Jesus Christ, I love you. And I need you more than I need anything in all of this world. Hallelujah. You're all the world to me. Praise God. You are my righteousness. You are my purity. You are my peace. Amen. You are my joy. Amen. You are my strength. I trust in you. I need you. I cannot make it one day. All alone. I need you more than I need anything in this world. Amen. Praise God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But the Lord bless you. Amen. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Don't forget youth service Friday night. Amen. And Sunday school. Everybody said Sunday school. Sunday school. Everybody ought to go to Sunday school and bring somebody with them. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Praise God.